right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, Miss Daphna Tackleby, and she is with WeAreTheEvidence.org. We're talking about the harmful issues that we are dealing with and being exposed to. With not only 5G, but all of this technology that has become such a daily part of our everyday lives. You know, Miss Tackleby, cell phones, you know, I tried to stay away from them for as long as I could. And I used to say I would watch people and, you know, it's become an appendage. It's an extension of your hand. Yeah. And, you know, and so it's so commonplace now. You see parents start their children, you know, even babies have iPads now. They're exposed to these things even earlier in their development, let alone adults. What about the impact of this that has become so commonplace? And the worst part about it is, nobody's talking about the dangers for the most part. There's no pushback. We all seem to be controlled by the easy access and accessibility to these tools.
Well, I mean, you said so many things that I have something to say about. Maybe we just start with what do we know about the effect of this technology on, you know, the cognitive development of children, and the effects are horrible. So there's a study that was done by Professor Hugh Tyler from Yale University. He's the head of their OBGYN department, and he thought, he didn't believe that there is any harm from cell phones. So he wanted to prove that there are no harm from cell phones, so he decided to conduct a study. And he exposed mice when they were pregnant to signal from cell phones. What he found was that the brain of when the mice were born, the brain was different. There were problems with the development, and they exhibit the same symptoms that children with ADHD exhibit. There's a study that was done on 80,000 women, and they show that women that were exposed to more cell phone radiation had a significantly higher rate of children with cognitive and behavioral problems. So, and there are numerous other studies like that. This is, so there's evidence from animal study, there's epidemiological evidence from human studies, and there's a lot of other studies that were done that clearly show, for example, EEG studies that are undisputable, you know, when they connect your brain to electrodes and they see what happened to your brain, and they see that when you're exposed to this radiation, it affects your cognitive abilities, it affects your sleep, because again, we talked about this is electricity. Our brain is electric, and it interferes with the way our brain works. So, you know, you mentioned before that I'm a telecommunication officer in the military, and, you know, one of the first things they teach you in when you learn about electronic warfare is that if you put two antennas, and those two antennas transmit on the same frequency, you're going to have interference. So if your cell phone emits those frequency, that same frequency used by your brain, they're going to be interference. And in addition, this radiation causing so many other brain problems. For example, one of the first studies that were done by the U.S. Navy was done in 1975 by a scientist named Alan Fry. And he showed that exposure from the same frequencies and radiation that this wireless technology uses is causing leakage to your blood-brain barrier. So your brain has a mechanism that blocks toxin from going to the brain. It's called the blood-brain barrier. And this radiation breaks that blood-brain barrier. So what does it mean? So if you use a cell phone, and the studies show that even if you hold a cell phone from a distance of like 1 foot away from your brain, it still can break your blood-brain barrier. So you use your cell phone, your blood-brain barrier is broken. So now toxin can go to your brain. So if you have vaccines, if you have, you know, you eat food with poisons, with various chemicals, all of this stuff now goes to your brain and contaminates your brain. And the bottom line is, yes, we've been using it and we're giving it to our children in younger and younger ages. But look at the data. 52% of children now have chronic conditions. So being sick has become the new normal. Anxiety attacks. They're now children in the age, under the age of 5 have anxiety attack. Why would a 5-year-old would have an anxiety attack? And the thing is, those are not really anxiety attacks. If you look at the symptoms of an anxiety attack, are exactly the same symptoms that hundreds of studies that were done on cell phone, Wi-Fi, etc., are causing. So essentially, those alleged...
So Daphne, there are so many different questions that I need to ask you that we won't be able to get this in today. I'm going to bring you back and again because you have challenged the FCC, which is there supposedly to protect the American people. What is their response?
So in 1996, Congress appointed the Federal Communication Commission to regulate the issue of the health effects of wireless technology, which is kind of a funny decision considering the FCC is not a health agency. They don't even have one person who is a health person in the FCC. It's a spectrum auctioning agency. Nevertheless, they've been appointed to regulate this issue, and they adopted guidelines in 1996 that are completely irrelevant. According to the U.S. government, unless this radiation creates temperature change in your body, in your tissue, then it doesn't harm you. And as I said, thousands of studies, even before we used wireless technology for commercial reasons, were proven that you have completely other type of damage. It has nothing to do with thermal change in your body. And nevertheless, these guidelines have been used for the past 25 years, and the FCC hasn't reviewed the science since. So in 2012, the Government Accountability Office wrote a report and said, hey, the FCC should review those guidelines. Makes no sense that it hasn't reviewed them for 17 years. So the FCC opened something that is called a docket. Whenever a government agency wants to take action, they have to open a docket so the public can, file comments and respond. And the FCC asked the public whether or not they should review the guidelines, like a question, an inquiry. So since 2013 to 2019, where the FCC closed that docket, thousands of comments were filed, hundreds of comments by scientists, doctors, doctors' association, people who've become sick, telling the FCC, there is a problem, people are sick, the science show that, you know, your guidelines are irrelevant for 20 years now. Nevertheless, in December 2019, the FCC closed that docket and published what's called an order saying, oh, we don't need to review the guidelines, there's no evidence of harm. That's it. That gave us, finally, there's almost,
we've got to go to a break. So if you can hang on, really excited about my guest, Miss Daphne Tackleby. And she represents WeAreTheEvidence.org. You know, all of us know who've been around a while, the advancement of this technology. You know, at my age, you know, we didn't have cell phones until, I don't know, the first time that I ever saw a cell phone, I might have been 30 years old, the first time it even entered into existence. And now with where we've come, you know, there's got to be something at the root of it that is not healthy for us. And that's what we are talking about today with my guest. Again, WeAreTheEvidence.org is the website. We'll be right back. Until you use me up. And to you.